Today we're looking at Psalm 96, and it's a psalm about rejoicing. Leanne and I recently, with our kids, went and saw Aladdin. I love the movie. I love the stage show. And in the musical where we were there, the music cast looked out and saw me and invited me to sing along with them. But I was mistaken. They were actually asking everyone in the audience to sing along in a song. And it was great to see hundreds and hundreds of people who had no connection whatsoever joining together and creating a sense of belonging and community. So simple, so easily done through song. And one of the songs I love from the musical and the movie is Prince Ali, Mighty Is He. So I'm just going to indulge myself a little bit. And I just love it. And I actually finally learned what the first two lines were from the musical. It goes, Prince Ali, mighty is he, Ali Ababwa, strong as 10 regular men, definitely. And I'm just singing along like this in front of all these people, not worrying what they thought about it. I wasn't in the shower. My daughter probably couldn't hear me. But it was tremendous just to do that and to feel something bigger than yourself, to be a part of something that created community. And this is what this Psalm 96 invites us to do. It's a psalm that invites us to have an outpouring of song. If you notice in the first two verses, three times it commands us to sing to the Lord. You see, singing to the Lord is important because it not only involves our mind, but our whole being, especially our hearts. One of my prayers for Christmas is when I see people mumbling along with the carols in their mindless way, that somehow the Holy Spirit will connect the words of the carols with their heart. And in that way, we get cheap evangelism. But they don't know really what they're listening to, do they? We need to pray, I think, that God uses these carols that are played everywhere through the Holy Spirit to share the gospel that they don't know about yet. You see, there's ample evidence for singing in the scriptures. For example, in Ephesians 5 verse 19, Paul commands us to sing by saying, sing and make music where? In your heart to the Lord. What we're going to do this morning is focus on the first six verses from Psalm 96, which is to sing and to tell. And then we're going to look at the reasons why we are commanded to do so. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, acknowledging that we need your help, your strength, and your comfort to be able to live and to walk in this life that you have called us to. But Lord, as we reflect on your word this morning, as we allow your Holy Spirit to teach us, to fertilize what thoughts you give us so that it grows into a crop, that you will find us faithful as you lead us every step of our life. Amen. Pretty simple, isn't it? Who is commanded to sing? Well, all the earth is commanded to sing. That is, all the people of the earth. There is no mention of Israel in this psalm. So it seems more like a psalm. This psalm is a call to the nations to sing to the Lord. It's a call to joyful worship of him. So who is commanded to sing? All the earth. And what are the peoples commanded to sing? They're to sing a new song. One writer says the idea is a fresh song, responding to truth freshly received, fresh experience. If you turn to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, it's a great little few verses, You'll know it when I get to it. I'll just read from verse 21 through to 23. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Just as God's compassion is new every morning, so there is a new song that helps us to respond to the freshness of his compassion, which means the praise of God is inexhaustible. And as we have new experiences of the grace and love of God in our lives, there's going to be talented musicians among us who write the songs that put into words what we feel from these experiences. We are commanded to sing a new song. And our music team serves us very well in introducing us to some contemporary Christian songs which are incorporated into our praise and worship. One of the songs is as Praise the Name. It starts off with these wonderful words. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Saviour on that cursed tree. This song weaves the crucifixion and resurrection story around a simple yet majestic chorus. I'm getting old and getting conservative in my ways, but I think we all should be open to singing new songs. But that doesn't mean we abandon the golden oldies like Charles Wesley's Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing My Great Redeemer's Praise, or John Newton's Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. We continue to sing those songs because they're great music, great words and great theology. And through them, there is a connection and a solidarity with Christians from the past. And sometimes an old song can seem like a new song because of a new tune. One of the outstanding examples of this is the 19th century song, Before the Throne of God Above, I Have a Strong and Perfect Plea. A great high priest whose name is Love, whoever lives and pleads for me. Isn't that great theology? And it's just so easy to recall it. I don't recall ever coming across the song until a few years ago. And it's sung to a wonderful melody that was written about 1997. It's a beautifully powerful and contemplative tune that enhances the impact of the wonderful Christ-centered words of that song. It's the only song that I'm aware of that highlights Christ as our great high priest, Hebrews 4, who always lives to intercede for us believers, Hebrews 7. So new or old songs, we sing them to the Lord. That is, the command has an upward focus. We're singing them to the Lord. And in case we didn't get it the first time, the psalmist repeats the command twice. Sing to the Lord. Well, considering the theme is singing and praise, let's do that. I invite the musical team to come up to lead us in the song I just mentioned, Before the Throne of God Above. Thank you. while the music team's just sitting down, why don't you just take a moment to pause and think about one of your favourite Christian songs. Think about why you love that song and silently praise and thank God for the words of that song. So let's just take a moment to do that. Your favourite Christian song. Think of the words and thank God for them. Just wonder how many songs we would have come up with. Now we move on to the next command, which is to tell. The three commands to sing to the Lord are followed by three commands to bless, to proclaim, and to declare. The command to bless is a synonym for praising. The word adds emphasis for enhancing or enriching God's reputation in the world through praise. Says one commentator, the idea of reputation comes from the meaning of name. It means his nature, who he is, and what he does. But then the next command, proclaim, signals a shift in direction from upwards to look outwards to all humankind. So we look to the Lord, and now we're looking to all humankind. Significantly, the Hebrew word translated proclaim is the verb of the duty of the herald who goes before the victor to bring a report to those who wait for good news from the battle. The command is therefore to tell the new good news of God's victory, his salvation. This command to tell the good news of God's victory is directed to everyone, all the earth. And it is to be done from day to day, that is, day after day. So that means constantly, all the time. And this good news is to be proclaimed among the nations, among all the people. Because there's no reference to Israel in this psalm, one commentator observed, the expression may rather suggest directly that God is the world's deliverer as well as Israel's. I think there's a lot to that observation. There were many salvations or deliverances by the Lord in Israel's history. Their deliverance from Egyptian bondage through Moses. There were deliverances from various enemy nations through various judges such as Gideon and Samson. And the deliverance from the Babylonian exile. According to the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament, the occasion for Psalm 96 was the rebuilding of the temple after the return of the Israelites from the exile in Babylon. As if to anticipate God's concern for all the nations, there was even the deliverance from judgment of the Assyrian city of Nineveh through the preaching of Jonah. And we know that the Assyrians were Israel's enemy. But we also know that the Lord is the world's deliverer. And that could only be fully realised in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He alone is the saviour of the world. He is the one who conquered sin and death and the devil by dying in our place for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And that is the good news we are to proclaim to all people. In verse 3, the psalmist commands us to declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous deeds among all the peoples. One commentator explains that glory is that attribute that signifies one's importance. It is an attribute that is demonstrated through actions and therefore can be seen and appreciated by others. The word glory here refers to God's unparalleled importance that is revealed through his works. The glory of the Lord is displayed in the work of creation, in his kingship, and also in the acts of salvation and judgment. You know, there are several ways we can fulfill the command to declare the glory among the nations. One way is that we go to the nations to tell the good news about salvation in Christ alone. In past years, TPC has supported people like Yas and Nerida and John and Rebecca. Another way to declare God's glory among the nations is for God to bring people from other countries into Australia so that we can tell them about the good news of Jesus. Our Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, famously said, "There has never been a more exciting time to be an Australian." I agree, but for a different reason. There's never been a more exciting time to be a Christian in Australia, because God is bringing the nations to us. And that's good for us because we try to do it the lazy way. And God's meeting our need. There are a lot of war zones around the world. And those war zones have caused about 65 million people desperate to become refugees. And some of those refugees are coming here to live in our country. It might have been difficult for us to go to them to give the good news of Jesus, but in God's sovereignty, they're coming to us. And we have the freedom to tell them about the good news of Jesus. And that is something to praise God for. Here's a bit of an overview for you. Did you know that Albury, Wodonga, the twin cities, have become well known as places of successful resettlement of Bhutanese refugees? Now, if you're wondering where Bhutan is, it's between India and China. This has provided a unique opportunity for the gospel because these people are more open to its message when they leave their homeland. 5 years ago, two people, Utam and Mira, began working with the Bhutanese in Albury who had started to attend the Thurgoona Baptist Church. And God has blessed this work among the Bhutanese and it's spreading throughout Australia. There are Persian or Farsi-speaking Christian congregations in Sydney. I understand that Farsi is spoken by the Iranians and Afghanis. There is a church in southwestern Sydney whose members come from 50 different cultural and ethnic backgrounds. No doubt so much diversity brings its challenges, but that church reflects the reality that the good news about Jesus is for all nations. You see, it is the only message. It is only the good news of Jesus that can break down the ethnic and cultural barriers that divide people, because all Christians are one in Christ Jesus. We have our ESL ministries, both here at TPC and in Queanbeyan. These ministries present a wonderful opportunity for us to help people understand and learn to speak Australian English. But it also provides an opportunity to give them the good news of Christ. So we need to pray for those who are involved in that ministry, that God will give them the courage and the wisdom to open their mouths to tell people about Jesus, but also for the ears of the listeners, that the Holy Spirit will open their hearts to receive him. In verses 1 to 3, the psalmist gives us the commands to sing and to tell. Now in verses 4 to 6, the psalmist provides reasons why we are to obey these commands. He explains that as the creator of the heavens, God has shown that he is alone God. All other gods are false gods. Literally, this means nothings. In fact, in the Hebrew, there's a play on the words for gods and nothings. So the psalmist derides gods, Elohim, as nothings, LLM. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, you got to be in the know. But Elohim and Elohim, gods, it's just a play on words. I wound the wound with a bandage. Oh, it's one of those things. One writer commented, this is appropriate because these gods have nothing for their people, can do nothing, and in reality are nothings. They have no real existence and are not gods at all. There was no reason to fear or worship those gods because they failed the nations that worship them. We are again reminded of the nothingness and non-existence of Elohim in 1 Corinthians 8 verse 4. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, but there is no God but one. So even though food is offered to idols, we know that in this world, an idol has no real existence. After all, there is only one God. Just reflect on that. As opposed to God, as we read in verse 6, he talks about his splendor, his majesty, his strength, and his glory. These characteristics are personified as his attendants, and they symbolize the majesty and the might of his court. And if we ask whether the sanctuary in verse 6 is earthly or heavenly, the answer is probably both, since the earthly sanctuary is only a copy of the heavenly one. If you want to look at that, look up Hebrews 9:24. You see, wherever God is, those characteristics are there. Therefore, not only is God worthy of praise, but as creator of the heavens, he has the right to speak to all the earth and is to be feared and obeyed. In summary, we are to sing to the Lord and to tell of his salvation to all peoples, because he alone is God, which he has shown as our creator. I think we do singing pretty well here at TPC. I think it's great that we learn new songs to praise God. So, music team, let's keep doing it. Telling of his salvation to all the peoples. We support a number of people through compassion. That's great. We support ESL. We support MOPS. They're great as well. But what about us personally? The command is to each of us to tell God's salvation to people. Are we doing what we can? Are we praying for and looking for opportunities to speak to people about Jesus? And are we praying that the Lord will open their hearts to receive the good news? The command is to praise and to tell. May God give us the strength and courage to do both, both as a community of believers and as we go and represent Christ in our local communities. Let's pray. Our Lord and our Heavenly Father, we ask by your grace and by your mercy and through the strengthening and the leading of your Holy Spirit that you will prepare us to share the good news of Christ with those around us, that you will open our hearts and allow us to praise you more because of your great majesty and splendor. We thank you and we rejoice that we have received the good news. May you help us and guide us and to lead us and to prepare others so that we may share the good news with them. But Lord, help us also to pray for those at this time of the year who walk through the shopping centres and listen to the good Christian carols. And we ask, Lord, that that message, the birth of a Saviour for the world, so that their sins can be forgiven and the door of eternity with you, our Lord and God, will be opened to them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.